Hey, it's Earth Mom. Welcome to Earth Mom Recycled on the Psychic Choice Radio Network. Today we're talking to musician Paul Winter, and we're talking to him about his summer solstice concert. We're talking about the sacred time of early, early morning, and we're talking to him about his music. I really hope you enjoy this.
Cause I was made of this earth, I'm born of this earth, I breathe of this earth, and even with the pain, I believe in this earth. So I wake up every morning and I'm stepping on the floor. I wake up every morning and I'm stepping out the door. I got faith in the sky, faith in the one, faith in the people rocking underneath the sun. Cause every bit of land is a holy land, and every drop of water is a holy water, and every single child is a son or a daughter of the one earth mama and the one earth papa. So don't tell a man that he can't come here, cause he got brown eyes and a wavy kind of hair. And don't tell a woman that she can't go there, because she prays a little different to a God up there. You say you're a Christian cause God made you. You say you're a Muslim cause God made you. You say you're a Hindu and the next man a Jew. Then we all kill each other cause God told us to. No, hello, hello,
hello, hello,
bonjour, bonjour.
Hello, good morning, everybody. It's Earth Mom. Namaste. The seeker in me salutes the seeker in you, the light in you. And I am thrilled to have the guests that are on today. Boy, I'm so happy. We're having Paul Winter of the Paul Winter Consort to talk to us about his work. So this is a light-filled show, and glad you're here, and I hope you get something out of it. I really do.
Thank you.
And what we're listening to is Morning Sun by Paul Winter. Right now, I'd love to go to our guest, Paul Winter. Paul Winter, let's just talk about him for a moment. He is a 7-time Grammy Award winner, and he has a body of work that chronicles his wide-ranging experiences in the musical traditions and natural environments of Mother Earth. The saxophonist, composer, and bandleader founded Living Music as the recording context for his ensemble, the Paul Winter Consort, and his community of colleagues, which includes some of the world's finest jazz performers of the world and classical musicians, along with the notable voices from Mother Earth, from wildlife. He's played with the whales, he's played with the wolves, he's played with the eagles, and I'm really honored to have him on our show today. Welcome, Paul Winter.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Gosh, so much to talk to you about. I could probably take a half hour just talking about all your marvelous achievements. But rather than that, I'd like to talk about you, your music, about the solstice, about Mother Earth and your relationship and the relationship of music with Mother Earth.
It's a wonderful subject to begin the day with.
Isn't it?
Listen, as the birds began at 4:35 here.
Yes.
That's one of the things that prompted our timing of our summer solstice celebration that starts at 4:30 to kind of commune with the birds as they begin their day. And so it's a magnificent time of the year.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to be able to bring this the spirit of this time into a place like the cathedral.
Yeah, you've actually you've taken kind of a concept, you've taken a feeling, and you're giving it form in what you're doing. And I just have to backtrack for a second. There's something, and you wrote it. You wrote about it. But there's something so special about that 4:30 time as the birds sing in the morning before the sun even comes up. The birds are at it. And I'm just looking here. I just wanted to quote you, but I guess I don't have to quote you because you're right here talking about it. But, you know, what you said, it is just so special. Here it is, if I may quote you. When I'm awake in the darkness before dawn, as the birds begin to sing and the earth prepares for the sun, I feel as if life is beginning again. There's something magical about that virgin time when we're free of the habitual patterns and obligations. And it's so true. That time is really precious and sacred, that early time when there are infinite possibilities and there's it feels like there's no limitation at that point.
That's a beautiful way to describe it. We're not accustomed to doing anything at that time, so we're not programmed.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the time when the world renews, and we usually sleep through it and get up a few hours later and get into our patterns. So I feel in that time that our listening faculties are the most acute and the most fresh.
Mm-hmm.
We have a kind of beginner's mind, as the Zen people describe it, and that it's possible to go deeply into this realm that we don't visit that often, and that the realm of deep listening. Most of the time, we're watching our way through life, and the ear is supplying a kind of incidental soundtrack to that visual journey. But if you take a vacation from the visual, closing your eyes or being in total darkness, as we are when we begin the solstice celebration in the cathedral, then a whole new realm opens up. That, as you said, it's full of infinite possibilities and promise.
It is. It's funny in the mornings because I've been waking very early. And it just feels so good. And then almost when it's like 6:37, there's almost a little disappointment. Because like, all right, okay, half the day's gone. I mean, and that's an exaggeration, but there is a different feeling to it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So tell us about the program at the cathedral and what's going to happen. It's on next Saturday morning, and gosh, I'm very tempted. I have some people that are hankering to be pre-recorded because they're not hardy souls like you and Chandra and Mama Donna, and they don't want to be up this early, so I may have to do a pre-recorded show. Hey, and be there.
Well, that would be great.
It would be.
The ensemble, the consort includes the cellist Eugene Friesen, mm-hmm. Paul McCandless is playing oboe and English horn, Jeff Holmes will play piano, Abdel Salam will play a set of large dundun drums from West Africa, and we have two percussionists who will be playing an array of percussion, including a set of Balinese gamelan gongs, and then Ray Nagum will be playing the cathedral organ. And we begin in total darkness. There's no lighting, no sound system, no staging, none of the accoutrements, none of the showbiz aspects that would go with...
something on such a grand scale, yeah.
It's in the crossing of the cathedral. We do it in the round with the audience in a circle. The crossing of the cathedral is under the Great Dome, which is 150 feet high. And the cathedral has a 7-second reverberation time, so that sounds hover and intermingle in a very magical way. And the musicians are scattered around the cathedral, not in one place, until the end. And it's a continuous stream of music. There's no talking and no program, no printed program. And so the listeners really don't know where the next voice is going to be coming from, the next instrumental voice. And so it brings a kind of alertness when you know that there's going to be one surprise after another. And it's the most profound event that we do. I think musicians love to create a situation where people really listen to what we play. This is kind of our ultimate opportunity to do that.
It's excellent, yes, and having the sounds and being placed throughout the cathedral rather than a stage. So, yeah, so everyone senses and listening just have to be heightened and giving attention to that. And it's such an organic process that you're doing. Clearly, you guys are doing a lot of work for that, to work amongst yourselves. But as an audience member, wow, it's a real great experience.
I like to ride on sound.
Ride on the waves.
Sounds can carry me into my imagination, into realms that I wouldn't visit even with my eyes open. And my sense is what happens is the cerebral cortex, which kind of runs our life most of the time, keeps us constantly thinking about how to deal with whatever's going on, how to solve problems, or harboring regrets or worries, and that just all vanishes instantly when we are in total darkness, because we need to use another faculty then to guide us, and the ear is just there waiting in the wings, and it's, I think, the untapped resource for our wayward species.
Wow, that's so well put. And it does take you to another time, another place. I mean, yeah. Oh, that's great. I'm Earth Mom. My guest is Paul Winter of the Paul Winter Consort. And to go back to your profound words, Paul Winter, yes, it does seem like a very ill wind is blowing. And this is the time to really to get strong in heart and get strong in spirit. And what you're doing helps us do that.
There's a wonderful quote that I'm going to get for you, that a man, a writer named James Carroll, has written in the Boston Globe, just about this reality and summer solstice, and But my feeling is that we have to find a way that we can deal with this, absurd political situation that we have now in this country, as well as the absurdities in so many countries.
Yes.
Without getting swept up into the anger, and because it can become epidemic, and I think often about what happened in Germany in the early 30s, mm-hmm. and the residual anger that was there in that country from many causes, from previous war and from the way that that turned out for them and their mm-hmm. economy was it was fueled and was the fire was fanned.
Yes, by the conditions.
By a demagogue. And we all know what happened there yeah. in a very, very short time. Here is this quote, this writing from this amazing author, James Carroll. And he said, "This is the week toward which the year has been straining. The fullness of light transforms awareness. Each day prolongs itself. Time is reinvented as the present tense comes into its culmination. Approaching next week's summer solstice, the earth seems to slow in its turning. The sun loiters. Evening slides luxuriously into night, which reliably cuts itself short with dawn. All of nature tugs at human consciousness to say, notice this." And
it's beautiful.
He goes on to say, when has astronomy ever done more for the lifting of the spirit? The suspended moments of time's zenith are sacraments of life's goodness. Haste, duty, and the hassles of work have no admittance here. In the coming week, you will remember with love all those with whom you have found your ease in such suspension, companions of summer. And in recalling such release, you will look for more. Ironically, this is how you deepen your feeling of responsibility for the world. It is the one thing you have learned. To be at peace is the way to prepare to work for peace.
That is so perfect.
His last comment is, "There is no coping with the heartbreak of the human condition without the nurtured sense of the heart when it is full. It is the business of the summer solstice, through the weave of memory and desire, to nurture that plenitude. That is why on each day of its approach, you will note the rampant timelessness of evening. In the morning, you will let your eyes drift from the wartime news to the red-breasted bird on the window ledge to join in its watching." If our music could embody a part of that essence of his words, I would feel that we had succeeded aspiration. So,
gosh, and it does embody that essence. It does. I mean, and like I've said, yeah. I mean, what you're doing at the cathedral gives form to this special time, to this feeling, to the solstice energies.
Well, we're very blessed to have that context, and yeah. that the cathedral has, for all these years, recognized that it was important to allow these kinds of unusual events.
Yeah.
And I don't know any place where we could do this with the kind of welcoming that the cathedral gives us and gives to all the diverse people who come.
Yeah.
And then the fact that it's this amazing space.
I mean, yes.
The largest cathedral in the world, with with this these acoustics and this titanic organ, it's a gift beyond anything I could have ever imagined when I began my musical journey.
And it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? I mean, you're the word responsible. I'm Earth Mom with my guest, Paul Winter of the Paul Winter Consort. You've been on quite a musical journey your whole life since childhood, but you're very much responsible for the growth in world music. I'd like to speak to that a little bit, and then I'd like to speak about working with the sounds of Mother Earth and our brothers and sisters in the animal kingdom that, you know, you actually play with. And, you know, let's talk about world music, and then let's talk about Mother Earth as well and those sounds.
Jazz, you know, I think has been world music from the beginning, embracing whoever shows up. I mean, in a sense, it began with the convergence of African and American cultures in this continent in the 19th century, and the musical communing and marriage of these heritages, and certainly by mid-20th century, there were Latin American influences coming in and interweave, and then some musicians went to India, and there were jazz musicians that incorporated those traditions, and on and on. So and jazz was where my first music I profoundly loved, mm-hmm. and where I began, and it happened that in the early 60s, my college band was from after winning an intercollegiate jazz festival, was sent by the State Department on a tour of 23 countries of Latin America for 6 months. And we heard amazing music in these, mm-hmm. these countries, and it led me to realize that the world is full of musical worlds. It's I think a characteristic of the nature of jazz musicians that we're always wanting to listen to new sounds and explore new ways of connecting with other musicians, mm-hmm. and other instruments. And so it's been and then finally there was a new name that came to this broader genre, world music, mm-hmm. That I guess began in the 90s, and I love the fact that it's honoring all the traditions of the planet, and not differentiating between what is, say, sophisticated or what is primitive. It's honoring the magical essence in especially the ethnic traditions, mm-hmm. that we're still discovering. And for me, it's the newest project I've been working on is called Flyways. It's a celebration of the great bird migration from southern Africa up the Rift Valley through the Middle East to Europe and Asia, and incorporating music of 16 cultures over which the birds fly. This has been the most expanding project I've ever done. And there's just what we've realized in having visited now 12 of the countries in Africa and the Middle East, as well as in the Balkans and Russia, is that many of the indigenous traditions are endangered as are the birds and the wildlife. Mm-hmm. So the project has its kind of double mission of bringing to people's ears the magic of the creatures and the cultures.
Oh, gosh, and you've done it. It brings to mind your CD, Earthbeat. Years ago, my friend gave me a copy of it, and then I had a CD. It got ripped off, but I need to get that again. I used to clean my apartment with that going because it just got me moving. So it was like, this was great. And then that ended up, one of the songs from there became the theme song for Survivor, right? The
Kursky Funk is the name of it, yeah.
Then I didn't like it as much, but I always loved the song. Now I do because I don't like those reality. TV, forget about it. And reality shows, new. Yeah,
I actually never saw the show, and was astounded. We had nothing to do with putting that in there. It was chosen.
Well, I do hope you were compensated for it.
Yes, we were.
Good.
To a degree. It was our former bass player was the music director for that show, and that's how it happened.
Well, it's a fabulous song. I mean, everything you do is fabulous. But that was I really resonated to that, and I loved it. And here's the song that I really like to clean my apartment to. It's from Paul Winter Consort's Earthbeat album, and it's with the Dmitri Porovsky Singers, and it's called Kursky Funk.
Yeah.
Yeah, just great stuff. And wow.
Well, thank you.
And everything you said about the world music and bringing together different cultures and the indigenous people and the indigenous cultures is so fantastic. Different instruments, different scents, but then it all blends together and it all works. And it's, you know, you may not even know quite where it's going, but it keeps moving and goes.
Well, we've just scratched the surface.
Wow. Okay. And then, you know what? I'd like to play your piece entitled Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about that. So we'll get that up and we'll play part of it. And then we're going to just play it underneath us after a minute or two. But I want to hear that. So here we go. This is Eagle. And we're back, and that was Eagle by Paul Winter. Gosh, can you tell us about that?
Handless, playing oboe, and with the voice of the African fish eagle.
Mm. How did you get the voice of the eagle?
It's a recording that, actually, we got it from Marlon Perkins, who was the moderator of the program Wild Kingdom years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And he had an archive of recordings, and that's where we found that one.
And tell us about how, you know, playing with that and how it came about.
What's been fun with the voices of some of the creatures is to find a seed theme, two or three notes, or more, in their call, mm-hmm. that we can then play on one of our instruments,
mm-hmm.
and then use the seed theme as the point of departure to develop a piece just the way a composer, classical composer, does, and then to interweave the voice of the creature with our improvisation or if it's written down, a composition, so that we can symbolically say that it was a collaboration with the creature.
Yeah.
Just to make the point of the importance of our communing with these elders of ours.
Yes.
Because all of the species are vastly older than ours. We're the youngest of of all the mammals, brand new as a species almost. The wolves have been here for 30 million years, which is more than 100 times as long as our species, Homo sapiens, has been around. We've been here maybe 200 or 300,000 years with this big brain that characterizes our species.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're barely into our adolescence. And
we're still acting out.
Behaving like juvenile delinquents,
yep.
Mostly,
mm-hmm.
In terms of our home, the Earth. I mean, there's no species that has survived that has defiled its home. And so we have no guarantee that we're going to be around for any length of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a huge amount to learn, and I feel that the creatures may well be our best teachers.
Yeah.
Somebody said they may have answers to questions that we haven't even learned to ask.
Yeah. I feel it's them and also our indigenous brothers and sisters.
Exactly.
Yeah, to learn
right.
from them. That's where our future lies. I mean, it's years ago a friend put it really well, I thought. It's going backwards into the future. You know, because it's the old ways are the ways that work. And, all our new stuff and, well, I can't even go there, but, yeah. You were like one of the first people, though, to meld music with the sounds of our animal brothers and sisters, yeah?
Well, a composer named Olivier Messiaen, a French composer, wrote many pieces based on themes he heard in bird calls.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly many composers have wanted to evoke the spirit of different creatures, especially birds, in their music. Using the actual recording, though, of the creature is something that I don't think has been done very much before. And one kindred musician who did something very, very beautiful with the whales
mm-hmm.
is Judy Collins.
Yeah.
And she recorded a song in the 70s called Farewell to Tarwathi. It was a song about somebody who was going off on a whaling ship. And she had the poignant songs of the humpback whale in the background of this song. And it's, for me, that's the most beautiful piece that's ever been done with the voice of a creature.
Hmm. Gotta check that out. I mean, I may have heard it over the years. I know she's done that. I mean, you've worked with wolves. What are all the animals you worked with? Eagles, whales, wolves, birds?
On our album, Prayer for the Wild Things,
mm-hmm.
I spent time in the Northern Rockies, and I had three opportunities to creatures responded to me, which is amazing. It's very, very rare that you can achieve that, or you're blessed with that, should I say? And there, it was with elk in Yellowstone National Park,
mm-hmm.
bull elk. I have a recorded duet with an elk. Loons responded to me in. When I played on the edge of a pond, also in Glacier, and then wolves had a pack of wolves responded to my calling, my playing. In the other pieces in that album, we had voices we had recordings of different creatures that we to which we played in the studio. Including buffalo, mountain lion, mountain goat, a raft of different birds.
Wow.
And grizzly bear. Grizzly bear cubs.
I want to give out your info, but just if you could perhaps describe what it was like with the wolves responding to you as you were playing. That had to be the ultimate high.
Ultimate was the word I would use, the ultimate thrill.
Yeah.
They just feel that you're communing with this family of life, of which we were once a more integral part. And for those moments, I felt like I was made whole.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that just had to be incredible. Paul Winter's website is paulwinter.com. It's a wonderful website. There are free downloads of his beautiful music, and you can see all the albums he's done. And if you're not all that familiar, get really more familiar with it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for all you do and all the music you've made. I appreciate it. Thank you. Love and blessings and light to you all. Thank you so much. And big thanks to the ever diligent and hardworking Ken Morris, who does this all out of love for all of us, and to the wonderful Alan Stevens. We're going to go out with the song, one of my really all-time favorite songs. It's called Wind by Circus Maximus. Peace and love.
That once you knew for sure, now you're walking in the shore to wonder. The more you learn, the less you know. The more you move, the more you go to nowhere. Ask a bird as she flies by just where she's at, and she says where the wind blows. Ask her by that what she means, she says she doesn't know. But as she flew away, she seemed to say the wind. Staggered to your room, sleep by day and plot by moon your conscious plight. Pack your dreams, you move away, decide to eat and live by day and leave the night. City sun blinks in your eyes, you shade your face and realize a lonely crowd. Then at once you feel the smile, and Then the ice-warm air moves by. She says the breeze provokes her sigh. The wind is love. Is the wind found another spring, another joy, a human thing called lovers. You play your roles a comedy, refreshing well the tragedy you're living. Love was sure, so you say, but like the wind, love blew away. But as she left, she seemed to say, the wind is love, is the wind. Wind is my love, where blows.